No, he could talk. My dad loves talking hockey.
Because Tri-City would only come through once every, whatever the schedule was, once every 3 years or so, and they had drafted Carey Price, and I remember they came through, and Carey Price had this weird, like a puck kind of sliced his knee open, so they come all that way, and he didn't even get to see him on that road trip.
Yeah, because I think he worked for Tri-Cities for three or 4 years, and then he joined Montreal. Was he already working for Montreal? No, I think
Yeah, no, he was already, yeah, he was already with the Habs, yeah.
Oh, he was, yeah, and
I
then he
think
just
so, yeah.
did, yeah, and he did some part-time work for Tri-Cities too.
Well, he was a big fan of Carey, obviously, and pushed for him. Like
Yeah.
with him scouting as long as he has, like, and I'm sure you have your own little tricks and minutiae to evaluate guys. Like, what was the biggest thing you think you took from him when watching hockey?
Well, he always preached hockey sense, like players that, could understand the game and play a good two-way game. I remember Curtis Brown that Buffalo drafted in the second round. Like he loved him as a junior, and Ryan Smyth was on that team, and he liked Ryan Smyth too. But like he liked, those players that played a complete game, and that's kind of what he taught me.
So all of a sudden, like years ago, he's working for the Habs still, of course, 46 years, and you find yourself with maybe their biggest rival in the Bruins. Like, do you still compare notes? Was there a time that you stopped comparing notes? What was the dinner table like at the Bennings?
Well, no, because he was kind of an area scout, like so he did Western Canada. When I worked for the Bruins, like I was, kind of overseeing all the scouting. So, we would talk, like we wouldn't talk shop where it would affect his job or affect my job. We would just talk in general terms about players and stuff. And when I worked in Boston, it was there was a certain type of player that we were trying to identify, and that's what I think made some great rivalries with the Bruins and the Canadians, is because they always had fast, skilled teams, and Boston, the Boston players were a little bit more rough and tumble. And so it made always for good, playoff series, and because it was almost like the opposite style players. So we would, he would, we wouldn't talk like if our team won a game or his team won a game. It was just more in general terms and about players.
Canucks General Manager Jim Benning joins us here on the program, Andrew Walker and Dan Riccio, and that brings us to today. And it's been a weird season, right? It's been a weird stretch. You have a job to do, but obvious. I mean, I don't gotta say it. There's contract uncertainty. Does it bother you? It's still hanging over kind of the atmosphere, and what would you prefer happen going forward, Jim?
Well, I understand, this is being talked a lot about right now. My focus and commitment is to the team long term. With me, I'm in the office working every day. We're trying to figure things out. We got like pro scouting meetings coming up, and we're getting ready for the trade deadline. So I'm always busy, working, doing, the hockey stuff. It affects my family more, I think, because I got a daughter that goes to school, and she reads this in the paper. Friends tell her at school, and she gets upset, and the uncertainty, even for my wife not knowing going forward what's going to happen. I think there's some anxiety there, but I know all I can do is the work. I'm going to continue to work hard. I'm having conversations with Francesco and Trevor, and I'm hopeful that we can get something figured out.
This is maybe a deeper question. We could probably talk all day about this, but in a broad sense, I mean, you build your team, you have this vision for what you'd like to accomplish. Is being a general manager and having it be your show, is it everything you thought it would be, I guess, as we sit here today?
Yeah, I think all the different teams go through different cycles. When I took the job here, the cycle of the team being good for a long period of time was kind of, winding down. It's been a challenge to, you know, try to stay competitive while in the games, while we're developing our younger players. But I'm excited about the future. Like when I look at, you know, the players we drafted, you know, Thatcher Demko's having an outstanding year in the American League this year. And, you know, the Petersons, the Gaudets, the Dahlins, the Ulevis, the Lins, the Gadjoviches. Like I feel like real comfortable going forward that, you know, a lot of these guys are going to be, you know, core players that, and the players that we have a chance to be competitive and win with. So that to me is really exciting.
Does the uncertainty of your situation change anything about the way you think of the team in the short and long term?
No, I'm looking at things, you know, what's the best and the right decision for the organization. So I'm not, you know, like I'm hopeful that it gets done sooner rather than later. But I'm looking at things as far as, you know, what's the best thing for this organization right now and as we move into the future.
I would say a lot of fans, a lot of listeners, people that we interact with would describe themselves as kind of being in the mindset, if it's not nailed to the ground at trade deadline, you sell it off. Is that your mindset right now?
Well, yeah, like to a certain extent. You know, there's a lot of things that go into making trades, you know, as, you know, like the other teams are going to have to want the players that we're moving. And I'm not, you know, like we want to get fair value for, if we're going to move a player, we want to get fair market value for them. There's, you know, teams that are capped out now and, you know, good teams that, you know, want to add a player. And so there's a lot of things that go into those decisions. You know, but we're going to, like I said, we're going to have our pro scouting meetings and we're going to do, you know, all the work that needs to be done going into the trade deadline. I'm having conversations with other general managers, you know, right now, and we're going to figure out what's the right thing to do for our team moving forward.
Canucks general manager Jim Benning joins us, Sportsnet 650, Andrew Walker and Dan Riccio.
Thomas Vanek, I think a lot of fans themselves have come around on Thomas Vanek since the day he was signed, Jim. How does the club feel about Vanek, a pending unrestricted free agent at the end of this year? Do you feel there may be something there longer term for a relationship?
Yeah, well, we'll decide that as we, you know, we move forward here. He's been good for our group, I think. You know, his ability to make plays and to shoot the puck, I think, has even been good for a guy like Brock Besser because he plays with a lot of confidence. And him and Brock have had good chemistry when they played together. So I think he's helped our team this year. And, you know, we'll sit down closer to the trade deadline with the coaches and stuff and have those conversations and then decide what we're going to do.
You mentioned that other teams, and it's obvious, but other teams have to want your guys. I mean, you know, I can put my car on Kijiji tomorrow. If no one clicks on the ad, you know, what am I going to do? How
right.
do you feel the market is right now for your pending free agents?
Well, I think, I think there's a market for them, you know, but we'll just have to wait as we get closer to the deadline. To see what teams are interested in and what they're interested in doing. So, I can't say that for sure right now, but I think, you know, as we get closer to the deadline and teams, see, the problem right now is there's so many teams that are so close that, you know, they don't know necessarily yet if they're buyers or sellers because there's a clump of teams in both conferences that are, you know, right in the mix of either making the playoffs or falling out. So, I think as we get closer to the deadline, that'll clarify itself more. And, you know, and then teams will decide if they're going to buy or they're going to sell.
Jim, the club was in a playoff spot when Bo Horvat went down with injury in that game against Carolina. And the injuries all through December and even January really set the team back a bit. But did it make it difficult for you on how to evaluate the team and whether there were steps forward given all the injuries?
Well, that was a tough part to the season for us because I felt like, you know, we won a tough game in Nashville on the road. We came home, we beat Toronto, which was an exciting game. We won the Carolina game. We had lost Brandon Sutter a couple weeks or a week before that in the New Jersey game. And then Dorse got hurt at the start of that trip, and then he was done. But then, you know, coming home, I felt good about things because our team looked like it was really starting to get confidence in itself and with each other. You know, the players were feeling good about themselves. They were having fun out there. And then, you know, we lost Bo in that Carolina game. That really hurt. And then we lost Sven Barchi the next game in Calgary. And we lost Chris Tanev, you know, a few games later. So then all of a sudden, you know, we were five or six guys out of a lineup. And the league is just, it's too good and it's too tight to, you know, try to, you know, be competitive every night, missing five or six of your best players. And like some of the players that were injured, like we couldn't replace them. We don't have the depth yet to like replace. Like Bo was so good for us early. When he went down, like he plays in all situations for us, power play, penalty killing. He plays against the other team's top lines. You know, and that's just something that we couldn't overcome.
Jim Benning joins us on Sportsnet 650. It's Andrew Walker, Dan Riccio, the program here on your Friday. The stories kind of came out this week about the Sedins, and you know how they can kind of spring out of nowhere. They've been pretty good, I would say, anyway, for your club, a little bit of a bounce-back season. If they want to be back, what is your mindset? Is this just pretty simple in the sense of, hey, they want to be back, we'll figure it out?
Yeah. So we, you know, like I've stated publicly, we've, you know, contacted their agent last week just to kind of get a feel for where they're at and what they're thinking going into the trade deadline. So we kind of know, and, you know, at the end of the year, what their plan is for next year. So I haven't heard back yet from J.P. Barrie, but, you know, when he gets back to me, we'll have a better understanding as to what the plan is going forward.
The timeline of the deadline, where does that impact things when it would come to the Sedins?
Well, it's just for future planning mostly. You know, like you guys brought up, you know, Thomas Vanek, who, you know, is our second top scorer on our team this year. And so, you know, say, you know, something, if the Sedins, you know, for some reason decided, you know, they weren't going to come back next year, then it makes us maybe, you know, think about, well, do, you know, we want to get Thomas signed going forward. So those types of situations, like planning purposes for, you know, us going into the summer and, you know, into free agency, it's mostly about that.
Well, I hope you hear back from J.P. Barrie sooner rather than later.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Jim, we really appreciate it today. Good luck going forward. Good luck at the deadline. You got a lot of invested fans in what happens here over the next couple of months. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks, Jim.